Your home is your biggest investment. So don't waste money experimenting when it comes to building, maintaining, or repairing it. From the chimney and the flooring to your siding and even the white picket fence, we've got you covered. This is Home Science Show, where we dispel the myths and misconceptions about your home, reading the fine print so you don't have to. Here's your hosts, Chris Linder and Dimitri Lipinski.
Welcome to the Home Science Show with Dimitri and Chris. I'm Chris, and today we're talking about floors, what floors are best for your home or rental property. So, Dimitri, what's going on, man?
Not much. I've seen your pictures last week. You've been on a hunting trip?
Yep, played hooky for a little bit. Went out to South Dakota, and kind of a adventure for me. I got to go and chase down mule deer, archery, spot and stock. And in the hills of South Dakota, and it was maybe a little bit more than I bargained for, but it was great. Yeah, we put on about 10 to 12 miles a day, and you know me well enough to know that that's probably not my normal everyday activity. So, but it was really intense the whole time, and it was a successful hunt, playing my first mule deer buck, and with a bow nonetheless. So it was a pretty neat. Had to belly crawl the last 200 yards to sneak up on him, and at 40 yards. And
10, 12 miles per day walking?
Walking hills, mostly. I mean, just up and down hills. It was...
It should be like 100 miles.
100 miles a day?
To impress me, at least.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're not going to see me doing muscle-ups, so I don't know what's going to
happen. You know, average soccer player in the game, in hour-and-a-half game, runs for about 6-7 miles.
Yeah. I'm not playing a lot of soccer. So. No, it was good, though. Yeah. Thanks for asking.
How do you find time with the four kids to go on the hunting trips? I've never been, this is for the record, I've never been on a hunting trip in my life. So how do you find time
to go for a week? You got to make it. I mean, it's not easy. We make a lot of choices as a family. My wife is, obviously, she's a saint, so it helps. But there's things we don't do, we choose not to do. Things we pass up on, or things, you know, compromise and stuff like that. And it is tough because they're, you know, four kids, 10 and under. So, it's tough. But, you know, one of the things for our family is that hunting is actually an important part of our culture and our home. We believe it's a pastime that we want our kids to carry on. And the way that happens is that, you know, I continue my hunting and becoming better and instill that in my kids and bring that into our home a lot. And so, you know, my wife supports that, and she understands that that comes with time in the field. Same with fishing for us is a big deal, too. So, but it's hard, you know, a lot of calls home at night to see how everybody's doing, get the rundown on everybody and who's having a good day, who's not. And I'll tell you, there's many a times where it might just be better that I try to find my way home mid-trip because I think my wife is ready for me to be there. But she stands in there. It's pretty amazing how she does it, so.
Oh, thanks for sharing. Let's get to our topic today. A little bit about my background. I used to have flooring business for about 2 years. It was in Atlanta, Georgia. I have to sell the business to relocate back here to be close to my family in Minnesota. And missed the business because I was kind of installer when I started it. If you work for me, you're only allowed to open boxes. Hands-on guy. Install every plank in the beginning, probably for first 6 months in business. I install, you know, glue down floors, nail down, finished floors, laminated everything. So today we're going to be talking about what's the best floors for your home on rental property, because there is no right answer. You have to look with what you have and with the purpose. Like if you have kids, you want to consider maybe carpets, but you have to have a plan how often you're going to be cleaning them. Or maybe it's area rugs on top of harder floors. If you have rental property, you want to do something cheap. You want to do something that will last for a long time and that you will have the best return on investment. All floors are different. We will cover a lot of it today, but general rule that I have for everybody, there is a consumer triangle. You probably have heard of it many, many times, and it applies to floors like crazy. It's quality, speed, and time. The rule of thumb is you cannot get quality floors that will be installed fast and will cost you, you know, not much. So you pretty much have to pick two out of three options in triangle at any given time.
You're not going to get all three is what you're trying to say, right? I mean, you're not going to get the best floors installed as fast as possible for the cheapest cost.
Absolutely. So, for example, if you have really nice real estate and you want to, you know, like finished floors, you have to allow it for a week. You have to pay a lot. So it's not going to be cheap, but it's going to be beautiful. It's going to last long, and it's going to require a lot of investment, not only money, but time. Quality will be there, but cost, it's not going to be there. I mean, you will pay top dollar for it. At the same time, if you want to go with a cheaper option for your rental property, it's not going to be maybe as beautiful, but it'll be installed fast. You'll save a few bucks, but don't expect it to be royal, I would say.
Yeah, it's not going to have the quality that you would probably put in your own home if you're going to live there and want to enjoy those floors. But, you know, the other things that probably may be more important to you at that time are the cost and, you know, how long
Absolutely.
It takes to get it done.
And also, if you're trying to do it yourself, because I've met a lot of homeowners who hired me to finish jobs because they couldn't. If you have one or two rooms, it's pretty easy if you have maybe room in the basement. But if you have entire house to do floors, you have to consider what's going in the floors. Like your a door jam is going to be your absolute enemy. Cutting around door jams is tricky. When I walk at any property, I can tell you right away who've done floors, professional or homeowners, because you look underneath the doors and that's what shows. If floors have to go underneath, under every single jam, and they cannot interrupt. So you pretty much started with one corner and finish another. And in between, you'll have six doors. So you have to keep, like, that's the trickiest part. That's the difference between professional and rookie or professional and the homeowner a lot of times. So you have to consider that as well.
And there's a time and place for both. Sometimes it's fine, you know, if and even, you know, you talked about rental. You know, if you've got a rental that you understand where that rental sits in the market, that person renting that, what they're paying, what their expectations are, and if you think you're capable of doing it without doing a complete professional job, hey, get it done. You know, there's that quality, time, cost, all that stuff comes into play. If your door jams aren't tucked nice, saw cut underneath, you know what? It's not going to matter. You're not going to have a problem renting it because of that.
Absolutely. I just remember something funny from my installation days. I've been finishing this basement for a client who was a really big attorney, and he did a lot of research. So he buys the most expensive, I believe it was what, mahogany solid planks, and he wanted me to glue it down. So he goes on research about glues, and he buys this alcohol base glue, and everybody was making fun of me. It's like, of course Russian has to install floors with the alcohol base glue. And actually it was funny because of the fumes was like vodka fumes pretty much. So it will mess up you at the end of the day, because, you know, you're going through 5 gallon buckets. I have like four or five of them, and I actually finished it was my record of all times. So I did 1100 square feet in a day, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. It was like an hour away, and I didn't want to come back. But yeah, that alcohol will keep you going.
Again, you're listening to Home Science Show with Dimitri and Chris. You can find us on our YouTube channel at Home Science Show, or go to our website, homescienceshow.com. Send us an email if you've got a topic or something of that nature that you want us to talk about in our show, or if you just have some questions about some of these things. And if we can't answer them, we definitely can refer you to a professional who could.
When we come back, we will be covering the best floors for house with the kids, the best house for rental properties, and we're going to give you a lot of tips if you do decide to do it yourself. It is doable. Many people do floors themselves, but you have to know what you're getting into. All of that when we come back.
Yeah, Dimitri's going to tell us why you might just want to buy cheap, junky flooring.
Well, sometimes you have to buy cheap, junky floors, and sometimes you have to go fancy. But you need to know the difference between the floors in the first place and their use. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Dimitri and Chris Home Science Show. I'm Dimitri, and we continue talking about floors. In 2008-2009, I have been working for a general contractor, and our portfolio was not only residential remodeling, but we also have a lot of investors, a whole bunch of rich gals and dudes who were buying rental properties. And I remember one client who would go everywhere fancy. I remember installing, you know, $6,000-$7,000 vanity, really expensive hardwood floors, and having conversations with those people, because that's most common mistake that I see in the rental property business. What's happening is you saved a lot of money, you have $1 million property of your own, and you just have that class A personality where you don't go cheap anywhere. So now you're buying properties and you thinking one day you're going to sell them, but for now you're going to be renting. And the biggest mistake is to go fancy on the rental. Here's why. The reason you don't want to do it, because fancy floors, unfortunately, not as durable as some cheaper options. You probably want to consider cheaper laminate, maybe not the cheapest laminate. Laminate has six ratings, but five is common, called AC rating. AC1, it's the cheapest laminate, it's going to look bad, it's not going to last. But if you go with the AC4, 5, or maybe even 6, that's what you see in commercial property, in some stores even. This is for high traffic areas. You're not going to pay a lot of money, it's going to look good, maybe not as fancy as your own property, but it will be decent enough for retail purposes. So when you sell the house, it's still going to sell fine, but it will last you 10, 15 years. Versus if you go fancy and you install hardwood floors, the floors will be trashed within 2 years. That's just the name of the game with the rental properties. Do you agree, Chris?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that it's just like anything. If it's not yours, you're only going to care for it so much. Obviously, as a property owner, you're renting out, you're looking for a good tenant that's going to take care of your stuff. But let's be honest, they don't care. They just don't. They can come off as great as you would ever hope in that, you know, interview, their credit, all those things are great. But at the end of the day, do they really care that much? They don't. So why are you going to take the time to put in that high-end flooring?
Well, there's also a big misconception about laminate floors. A lot of people think about laminate floors the same as they think about vinyl siding. It's cheap. It's downgrade. No, it's not. You will be surprised how many floor guys actually highly recommend laminate floors. I was the one. As a matter of fact, I installed laminate in my basement. Laminate is an amazing option when you're talking about basements, free floating. You just don't have to go cheap. I never would recommend AC1, AC2, like the lowest grades. You know, you have 50 cents, fiberboard that will break. But laminate floors, they will last forever. And right now on the market, you have bevel edges, you have hand scrapes. I mean, they look amazing. Sometimes you cannot see the difference. They don't have that plastic look anymore. So it's definitely one of the best options, in my opinion. And for rental property, the option, number one option.
Yeah, what you got to understand is that laminate has, like you said, all these different variables within them, and you can get from the cheapest to the most expensive, and performance is super important in that too. So yeah, if you want to get cheap, because at times the rental you want to get really cheap, but the way these laminates are built, some are going to withstand water, moisture, all those things better than others. Some are going to be better suited for a basement. Some are going to be, you know, don't put it in the basement. Some are going to require an underlayment of some sort. You got to know what you're trying to, you know, buy and where it's going. And not all laminates are made equal, but laminates have amazing capabilities and properties in them that, like Dimitri said, you can get great looking stuff and it's going to hold up. It's going to be tough. It's going to be, you know, when that kid drops a, you know, hammer on the floor or whatever it is, the dog, the pets that they didn't tell you they had that all of a sudden they got, you know, at least it's not going to scratch up your laminate floors.
Absolutely. And you brought a great point. On the rental property, accidents do happen, and it's all your liability. So if you do install, for example, nail floors, like if you nail every single board and it's solid and you have water leak, or you have dogs, and people used to ask me all the time, Dimitri, what's the scratch warranty? Like in the flooring business, if you cannot see it within 3 feet, it's not even considered damaged. Like that gap, because you are walking on the floors. Everything moves. Your house moves. Gaps open and close. Scratches will happen. So I used to tell people all the time, if you install solid wood, which is solid, like your oaks, your maples, and you take high heels, like with a very small pin, you will make a dent.
Yeah, anything. Yeah, absolutely. And anything organic is always going to open itself up to, you know, those types of things. So it's actually, it's wood, right? I mean, let's exactly. be honest, it's still wood. I don't care how much you paid for it. It's wood. It's going to get damaged. Just understand that part of that might be the character, part of it might be what you want, but it's going to get damaged. So who do you want to put that in the hands of? Yourself in your own home, or do you want to put that in a rental? Now, some rentals might require it, right? Because if you're renting a home out for $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month, that's a whole different renter, right? You got an executive home where that executive expects to be able to be in a home that would make him feel like he's at the home that he would have bought. He's just not buying it right now because he's working out of town or whatever. That's a whole different thing. For the average person, their rental property doesn't require that. Even though we want our properties to look nice, even though we think we're adding more value to it, you're not.
Well, you might be adding value, but you will not see that value back. So if you go in and install, let's say it's a 3,000-4,000 square feet house, like something on a bigger scale, and let's say you spend $30,000, $40,000, and you buy, you know, the most expensive marbles for all your bathrooms. You install, you know, mahogany floors in your kitchen, and you go with the fancy carpets on the stairs. The thing is, when buyer will come in, like, nobody gonna appraise that property higher, $30,000-$40,000 because of flooring. You're just not going to have return on investment. You're better off spend $5,000, go with the laminate, go with the commercial grade carpets, maybe something cheaper, because that $5,000-$6,000 will look decent. It's not going to churn away buyers, and you will have your money back when you sell the house.
You bring a renter through a house and you say, well, here's the thing. I would rent it for $1,200 a month to you with these laminate floors. However, I just put new hardwood in last month, so it's $1,600 a month. Come on, you're not going to get that. That's not going to happen. Absolutely. You didn't think about it like that in terms of return.
Well, what I love is if you watch TV shows, like HDTV shows, like Property Brothers, people who flip houses for a living, you will be surprised how cheap they are. Even on a TV show.
So it's great on camera, though, right?
Well, but still, they're cheap. Like, and everybody yeah. thinks, like, oh, look at them. And because they buy, you know, best deals, they put as little money as possible, and they flip them, right? So it's an art, but biggest mistake rookie makes, they're like, okay, I buy this property right now, and I'm going to go buy fancy vanity, fancy floors, and the property going to go up. Well, that's misconception. It never happens. You pretty much just wasted your money. There is, in the next show, we will talk about what pays back when you sell a house, what projects to do to increase this, but floors is not one of those.
Yeah, again, you're listening to Home Shine Show with Dimitri and Chris, and we're talking flooring today. You can contact us through our website, info@homescienceshow.com, and you can find us on YouTube, the Home Science Show, as well. I can't explain, you know, enough when it comes to rental piece of things, that you look around, you go and you find a guy who's got, or gal who's got 20 rentals or however many it is. But you look at the way they do things, how long they've been doing it. You want to get into the rental game, and you want to start talking about how to know which things to put into your property. You go and you follow some of these people, and you'll think, boy, they're just so cheap. They just do everything so cheap. But think about this. They're around. They've been around, and they're adding to their inventory. They're every year, they're adding another house, and it's because they're successful with the way they're doing it. They're not getting hung up on what they would want in their home. They're getting hung up on what's going to get it rented and how is it going to, you know, create the most cash flow.
And by the way, I don't agree that laminate floors looks cheap. I mean, I've installed so many. I remember one lady was...
Come on, man. Some of them are terrible. No, I mean, they're just terrible. There's definitely that. But that's why we associate that, because most people go to the big box and buy the cheapest.
But here's the deal. You go with the 50 cents... Okay.
Yeah.
And you go with the $2 versus $5 for hardwood. So if I'm not talking about 50 cents. For me, it's junk. I wouldn't recommend even for property.
For rental.
Like for rental.
They're not going to hold up.
Nope. But if you go with a medium to higher grade laminate, you will be impressed yourself how good of look you just got.
Yeah, we're talking like that $1.50 to $2 something, you know, somewhere in there on the material type laminate that you're probably going to want to put in a rental, because it, you got to understand, laminate is designed to hold up and do all those things, but the really cheap stuff doesn't hold up at all. So you want to actually get into the class where you can get something that's going to hold, like your Wilson art. Some of that stuff is pretty good quality. You can spend $6 a foot on laminate now.
I agree.
And it looks dynamite, but you don't need that.
What I would recommend, and this is my personal choice after seeing thousands of floors, is go with a bevel edge. Because if you go with a straight, so any water, any humidity will raise that edge if it's just a butt, you know, joint. And if you go with a bevel, it's pretty much not, it's going to eliminate future raising on the floor. So you're not going to see those lines. And also hand scrape looks. Hand scrape look already look distressed. So anything that happens to the floors just adds more character, I say.
Yeah, it draws your eyes away from the you know, imperfections.
Exactly, versus like solid, smooth surface.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. I really like laminates. I wouldn't mind them, you know, in my personal home if I felt like it fit that. There's nothing wrong with these high-end ones. But, you know, one of the things you want to look at when you're looking into these is what the warranty is on them and what the core of the laminate's made out of and what the surface of the laminate's made out of, and also how they interlock, how they go down, how they're connected. So there's snap-ins, there's pound-ins. A lot of that will make a difference as to how well it's going to stay together and hold up. So when you're thinking about, you know, putting this laminate into your floor, don't just go grab the cheap stuff. Figure out what it's made of and how it's going to last and why. Ask a lot of questions. All right, welcome back to Home Science Show with Dimitri and Chris. Last segment, we talked a lot about laminate flooring, really mostly based around if you're got a rental property and, you know, what you should be putting in there. We want to jump into your own residential home and maybe some of the best flooring options for you, especially if you have kids or pets, and you know, how these things are going to hold up and what you need to know a little bit about that. What's the best? What's junk, Dimitri? What are you going to put in?
Well, it's all about setting up expectations. I have carpets, I have solid oak, and I have solid Brazilian floors. And I have five kids under 10, and my three-year-old is on a mission to destroy all of them. Just yesterday, we took one of the bigger cars somebody gave him in the garage because they were just racing around our little island on the kitchen, and you literally see marks from the from the plastic tires. So the thing is, if you have kids and you do have hardwood floors, you want to, expectations there is like they will be scratched. Like hardwood is not as hard as people think it is. It's still wood. It still has that poly on top of them. If you are doing a project right now, maybe you want to install hardwood floors and finish it yourself or hire a company to finish. There is a two types of poly, water base and oil base. I would highly recommend water base for durability. I know a lot of people are skeptical about water base anything, but trust me, water base is what they have basketball install on basketball courts. It's super, super durable. It doesn't go turn yellow over time. So when I was installing floors, water base poly was my number one choice. But no matter what you choose, you will see scratches. I mean, my floors are beat up. I think it's exotic Brazilian. I don't remember the name, but it's Brazilian wood, one of the Brazilian species. And it's amazing how good they look from the distance. But if you go down to like 6 inches, I mean, it's
beat.
They're beat.
Yeah. Well, with hardwoods, there's a lot of variables. There's just so many things going on there that I think as homeowners, we don't necessarily understand. If we're going and doing it and finding it ourselves, you know, typically price is always going to be out in front is what we're looking at. Then we want to believe that, you know, once we kind of establish a budget that we're going to find the best thing we can. But we got to understand what we're looking at. And like Dimitri's talking about hardwood floors. And so there's kind of the natural hardwood floors from a standpoint of, they call them sand and seal. So you're dropping in raw hardwood. It's all put together and it's flush. So if you look at the edges in between all the pieces, they're going to be flush with each other. There's not going to be that little bevel that we see so often in homes. Now, the bevel is going to come when you have a pre-finished hardwood floor. Good qualities in both. Sand and seal, talk about those first really quick. Obviously, just like Dimitri said, the level of finish that you put on it, all that stuff, water-based, oil-based, how you want that to be. No matter what, they're all going to get scratched up. They're all going to get dented and beat. But best part about the sand and seal is that when they do get beat up over time, you can come in and you can refinish those floors.
Absolutely. So next one I want to cover is a tiles, whether it's ceramic tiles, backsplashes, anything, especially if you go in the floors with the tile. And it doesn't really matter, guys, if it's a ceramic tile, if it's porcelain, if it's marble. The expectation there is just be ready to regrout it at least every 2 years, probably every year. And here's the deal. A lot of flooring guys will not tell you that. I mean, some do, but I remember seeing a lot of complaints and a lot of calls back when people call us and say, hey, my floors, you know, my grout is coming off and, you know, you have to come back and reseal it. And even after we explain to people, say, listen, you will have to do it yourself or you have to hire us or other company to do it. So if you're doing the floors right now, just know that unless it's solid concrete, unless it's solid concrete and it's superior everything, superior tile, marbles, whatever, the grout will come off. Because if you using it on the plywood and you have cement boards, I mean, it just houses do move and things will happen. I mean, it will crack. It's not bad, but it's part of that maintenance that nobody likes and nobody wants to do anything every year or two. But that's comes with the price of solid services.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree a little bit on that from a standpoint of every year or 2 years with the grout. I think a lot of what you started talking about is what you're putting it over the top of. You got to understand what the substrate is underneath that tile.
Exactly.
You know, if you're putting it over concrete, it's not going to move much. If you're putting it over plywood, it's going to move more. But understanding what was there before, what type of plywood, if you don't remove the existing plywood, so you had just particle board flooring, OSB board down there, and then, you know, that had carpet or whatever, and then you go down to put tile on it, that's not necessarily made, it's not the approved substrate. A actual plywood, a solid CDX plywood that has very minimal flex expansion, those sorts of things, and then the way it's screwed down and glued, it's going to flex a lot less. That's what the difference is going to be on that grout. So if you're going to go and put this in, talk to your guy about what your substrate is. Don't let him just go, yeah, we'll just go right over the top of it because he doesn't like to remove plywood or he doesn't do that. Understand what you're putting it over because, yeah, you could be up for having to redo that grout a lot.
Absolutely. And I didn't mean that all your cracks will do it. But think about this. We live in Minnesota and you probably have seen your doors are going jammed like twice a year, spring or fall.
Opening and closing.
Tighter. Exactly, because your house moves. So think what happens to tile floors. So no, all your grout joints not going to come off, but when it meets the wall, when it meets something towards the end, that's where cracks usually happen and people are start freaking out. Oh, I have a crack here. Well, your tile is not going to crack. I mean, we see cracks in the concrete, and that's why we have those joints. So sometimes it's minor. Sometimes it's like a great example is where a granite countertop meets backsplash. A lot of times that line will be cracked. So don't call your floor guy or your tile guy and start yelling at him that he did a crappy job and he has to come back. He doesn't owe you for the next 10 years to keep traveling to your property to keep resealing it.
Hey, man, you're going to have to get back here. I see a little crack going on.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you got to understand, it's a fixed, anytime you have a fixed product, meaning a solid surface, fixed, adhered, versus like a carpet, which is floated, right? So that surface is solid. Something's got to give when they're shifting and expansion, and that's why the grout joints are there.
Absolutely.
To begin with. Yeah.
Next one is a carpet. Just two words on the carpets. When you install carpets from your wall to wall and you have a lot of kids, you have to come up with a plan and you have to talk to your spouse, hey, how long and how often we'll be cleaning it? Because vacuum, it's not going to get it completely clean. It's pretty much dust collector. So a lot of people, they don't think about company carpet cleaning company. They don't even consider, oh, let's just install carpet. And then 5 years later, they start looking at the carpet cleaning companies, well, it's too late. You have to think about it when you install it.
Yeah, and you need to understand that there's, just like anything, there's a wide range of carpet. And what that range is, usually price is going to basically be determined by almost one thing, and that's what the carpet is made of. Is it nylon? Is it polyester? Is it wool? Is it a combination of nylon and polyester? Those properties are what's going to determine the longevity of that carpet. And then you can always do those things like the Scotch Guard and those sorts of things. But understand, you're going to get what you pay for in quality of carpet. So if you know you've got a high traffic area, and you don't want to have to be replacing this carpet every 3 to 4 years, which I just ended up having to do, you want to find a better quality carpet and actually do a little bit of math and think about it like this. I know that if I spend $3,000 to get this carpet and I got to replace it every 2 years or 3 years, let's just say, right? Because it just isn't holding up. It's staining. Sure. I do get it cleaned and the stains, you know, just don't seem to come out. But if I spend $3,000 every 3 years, or I can spend $5,000 every 7 or 8 years, you know, think about that value, because that literally will be the difference on how well a carpet's going to hold up and how cleanable it really is.
Absolutely. Well, I want to jump to do-it-yourself part, and because carpet is one of them that's pretty easy to do it yourself. But with any floors, you can do it yourself. But I would say this. You have to do a lot of research to do floors right. Floors, unlike painting, unlike some other home improvements, they're not going to go away if you do them right. Like, what I mean by that is, if you paint wall bad, I mean, yeah, it's going to be eyesore, but you can easily repaint it. If you do floors bad, you're going to walk on them and regret it for a long, long time. But you also will waste a lot of materials you've purchased. So here's a few tips that we want to give you guys. Number one is, you want to make sure no matter what you do on the floors, you take care of that subfloor. I don't care if it's carpet, I don't care if it's laminate, I don't care if it's hardwood or tile. You have to take care of a subfloor. Once you remove everything and it's bare plywood, you see it, do spend a little bit more money, more time, buy expensive screws, and make sure nothing squeaks. Because whatever you cover it with, you will hear those squeaks for the rest of your life. And a lot of people do that mistake. They don't care about subfloor, and it cannot be undone later.
Well, they don't think about it, really. I mean, if they knew about it, they might try to deal with it, but you don't think about that. So it is important, especially if you're going to put down hardwoods, you know, because that you're putting down with hopes that it's not coming back up. And those nails that hold that hardwood down are not going to secure your subfloor. You need to know that. Because the floor is being nailed to the subfloor does not mean it's not going to squeak. The whole subfloor is going to move and squeak all together. So that doesn't solve you that issue.
Absolutely. If you are installing laminates, I would say another big tip don't do foams. Foams will break down after a couple of years. So it's a white looking material, pretty much. It's like bubble wrap almost, but it's very thin. And I've removed a lot of laminates and a lot of hardwoods, and it literally breaks down after a couple of years. Stay away from it. Choose cloth instead. When we come back, we're going to keep giving you tips what to do, whether you're hiring a contractor or do it yourself. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the Home Science Show with Dimitri and Chris. Today we're talking about flooring, and our show is really all about different things going on as homeowners, what we deal with at our home, and how we can do some of these things ourselves. If we got to hire a contractor, maybe how to find that contractor. You can find more about us on our YouTube channel, The Home Science Show. Our website is homescienceshow.com. And Instagram, Facebook, we've got little clips out there from previous shows. You can catch just little snippets of it, watch some of it. Sometimes we bring a few things in studio you can look at too while we're doing it. But we try to get into a little bit more in depth on our YouTube channel. If those of you are YouTubers, check that out as well. All right, Dimitri, coming back, we're going to talk about just biggest trends and mistakes in flooring people are making when they're going to look for this flooring for their home.
Absolutely. My next tip will be when you install in hardwood floors, I see a lot of homeowners doing that mistake, is when you install hardwood floors and you come towards the end, people don't like to use a face nail. Unfortunately, it's a very tricky area. Last, I want to say 12 inches of in any room when you get close to the wall, you cannot use standard nail guns to nail it or staple guns. So what you'll have to do, you'll have to drill holes in on top, screw down, and pretty much you will have to putty it later, which is fine, because if you don't, your floors will squeak like crazy. Actually, I've done that mistake myself several times, where everywhere in the room it's fine, but you walk towards the edges, it squeaks. They do have staple guns. You can pretty much nail smaller finish nailers, but they're not gonna hold and they're not going to help you with the squeak. So you have to use something solid. By the way, the best video on YouTube, it's actually made by Lowe's. Just go to Lowe's YouTube channel and find the tutorial how to install hardwood floors. They explain in a very visual way what I'm talking about.
One thing I want to get is, I can't explain this enough or stress this enough. When you're looking at flooring for your home, don't try to make your home something that it isn't with flooring. And what I mean by that is, you're looking at all the latest trends, what your friends have, what your neighbors have, and you're seeing all those things, or you go to Home Depot and think, well, I can put that in my home. Now my home's going to be updated. Now my home's going to be that much better. Well, here's the thing. You need to understand that what is in the rest of your home. If you saw it in your neighbor's home, you saw this beautiful floor in your neighbor's home, it looked great, they got a brand new house or whatever it is, take a look and go, well, if I put the floor in, that's fine, but what's all my other millwork? What else is going on in my home? Is it really going to make that big of a difference, or do I have to open that whole big can of worms? Don't try to solve it all just with flooring. Stay within, you know, the confines of what your home deserves to have, and then find something nice.
Great point. I've seen it many times at friends' homes. That just because you've seen it on HDTV or somewhere, and you can tell when you walk into somebody's home, like, that's just that floor, that piece doesn't belong here. But actually, it's funny. In the tradesman world, like if you're a tradesman like myself, what we do the most, that's what we like. So if I install certain floors, for example, and I love it, guess what I'm going to do at home? That's what I'm...
You're going to put it in your house, and it has nothing to do with your house. It doesn't belong there.
Exactly. But maybe I'm a contractor who works in million-dollar homes, and I have... you know, $80,000 property, and now I'm installing leftovers for my million-dollar project. It's just not going to belong. And even if it's fancy...
Random with hand-scraped mahogany plank
exactly,
in your rental property isn't a good idea.
Out of place. Out of place.
Yeah, it just... What ends up happening is it just looks like exactly what it is. It looks like you tried to cram trending floors into a dated room.
Absolutely.
It doesn't work. So think about... what belongs there?
My tip will be to all do-it-yourselfers. I would say rent all tools you need. Do not buy them. I see so many times. I mean, think about this. You install on carpet. Carpet kicker will cost you over $100. If you go Harbor Freight tools, like 70, 80, you buy it cheap. But it's $15 to rent.
You're never going to use it again.
Exactly. Just rent it.
Listen, guys, we all like to collect tools. I mean, I'm as guilty as anybody.
Oh, yeah.
I got a collection of
rent
stuff.
Rent all the flooring tools. I still to this day have tools. I mean, I have flooring company, but even when I was doing last year, I don't own flooring business anymore. But even when I was doing my floors, I'm like, I have this project with 1,000 square feet. It took me like 3 days.
Went out and bought a brand new nailer.
Absolutely. I just can't, but you have to rent them.
But honey, why do we need a $600 nailer? I don't get it. You can rent it for $30 a day.
But my philosophy was like, my father-in-law one day will ask me to borrow it to him. Like, you know, I'm a nice guy. I'll just let my friends have it.
I'm a collector. Like, I get like
same,
tool envy. So somebody's got, here. I see something like, well, then I have it. You know, I kind of start talking myself into it.
And also rent all tools you need. Like gem cutter, we were talking earlier, you need it. You cannot do a good job without a gem cutter. You cannot do good job without finish nailer. You cannot do good job without that kicker. Like, you have to have all tools, which is going to be like, depends on the job, 5, 6, 7 tools. Like, you know, tile cutter.
You specialty know, tools in flooring, are, exactly. They make all the difference in the world.
Exactly. But go to Home Depot. It's super cheap. They have full selection. You're going to buy, you know, like, and listen, you can't even buy it. Like, you know, nice tile saw, it will run you $50 for a couple days, right?
15 to 3,000 if you buy it.
Exactly. You can do it.
But you can use that premium, yep, and you're going to get a better outcome, you know,
absolutely,
if you're renting it. So
absolutely,
go rent the premium thing that you wish you could buy or would like to buy. Just go rent it and use it and enjoy it, but then be done with it. Trying to find flooring that is in line with the market value of your home can be one of the most difficult things to do. If you think hardwood is the best option for your home, make sure that you buy hardwood appropriate to your home's value. Hardwoods can change in value, you know, cost from, say, $4 a foot or $3 a foot for the raw materials, all the way up as high as literally $30. So, you know, when you go to look at that material, understand that as much as you may love it, if it's not going to bring you any more value and it's that much more, don't do it. Find the stuff that makes sense with your home, even though you'd love to have those other things. Unless, you know, maybe it's just one of those things where, hey, I'm going to live here for 30 years. I don't care. I'm never going to sell it. I'm going to die in this home. And I'm just going to really, really enjoy these really high-end floors. Get a little realistic with it. Stay within the lines of, you know, the value of your home.
Sure. My tip will be to anybody who's finishing floors now. I already talked about it earlier. Use water-based versus oil-based finishes. I'm a big, big water-based guy, and the reason is oil-based is time-consuming. It takes a lot of time to dry for any oil-based product, whether it's, you know, poly or any finisher for that matter. It also smells. It has those fumes, and it also will turn majority of the products yellow over time. That's not good. On a side note, Bona is one of the brands, I'm sorry, but it's, for me, it's almost like go-to brand when it comes to water-based, but you go to Home Improvement Store, Lowe's, Home Depot, Menards, they all have them. Water-based product, don't think about it as a negative. It's very, very positive. It doesn't smell. To be honest with you, I finish cabinets with the water-based polish. I finish my floors. I finish everything. The reason is because it doesn't smell fast-drying. It doesn't turn wood yellow over time, and I love it.
There, again, is a lot about the application process, too. Using the right tool to apply that water-based can make a big difference. So,
yep.
Get an outside opinion, right? So we all get caught up in what we believe our home could be rather than what it is. Get samples of all your options, considering, you know, put post-it notes on all the options that you think are options for your floor. So, you know, get them, you know, 1, 2, 3, and 5. Yeah, I skipped 4. And what I mean by that is get your option, you know, price point with option 1, price point option 2, price point option 3, and then have one that's 5. That one particular floor that you know you'd love to have, it's much, much more. It's probably 2 to 3 times more expensive than option 2, but it's that dream one. Put them all in your home and get an objective person to come over and give you an opinion, not family, not neighbors, and put them all up there and say, which of these products are best for my home? It doesn't mean you have to go with that opinion, but ask people because you might be very, very surprised. We get really tunnel visioned when it comes to our home, what we think, what we envision it could be.
It's a great tip, and I couldn't agree more. As a matter of fact, I would recommend, don't ask advice from people who sell floors. Do go to a designer, professional designer who does it for a living. Because even like I'm a contractor and I still use designers because I don't want it to be my opinion. I don't want it to be what I love pleases my eye. I want it to be market relevant with the trends and stuff like that. And you'll be surprised. I mean, floors are super, super expensive. You're talking about, you know, hardwood floors, average job would be like $5,000, $7,000, $8,000. Get the graphic designer for a couple $100, $150 an hour. It's nothing. 2 hours with them, you'll pick up a floor and you'll save you thousands of mistakes.
Okay. Again, you're listening to the Home Science Show with Dimitri and Chris. And I got one last tip. And this is consider working with what you already have. If you find that you have old, dingy, I don't care if it's paint-covered hardwood floors or whatever's on them, they're in bad shape underneath your carpet, consider trying to refinish those floors because it's going to have, you know, certain benefits to it. One, it's already there. You don't have to go find it. And it's there. It's easy to do. It's make the least disruption in your home or life. And it's in line with the class and character of your home right now. So for Dimitri, I'm Chris, and you can reach us at Home Science Show on YouTube. Guys, we have great YouTube content out there talking about all the different things we do and showing you a little bit more in depth on any of our topics. You can come to our website and contact us there through info@homescienceshow.com. That's info@homescienceshow.com. If you've been scammed by a flooring contractor or any kind of contractor, we want to know about it. We want to hear about it. Go find us on social media. Check us out on Instagram, Facebook. We're out there, and we want to hear from you. Thank you.